from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Friday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB. And this morning, the CTV building, what did people think was going to happen? We'll mark the week. It's Friday. That's what we do. Ben Stokes, he's playing. Can't do anything about that. And some new faces on some old people. But before any of that, it's Christmas light time. December 1.
Why would they ban Christmas lights in Connecticut, Richard?
Because there's 350,000 of them on one house, maybe. And some of the locals think it might be a little bit much. Yes, 'tis the season for holiday light show extravaganzas in this land where folks go crazy over Christmas light displays. And in Fairfield, at a place called Wonderland, there's been a bit of a controversy over this family light show that has gone on seasonally for about 20 years, getting bigger and bigger all the time. The show includes multiple train sets, just like in the Bible. A sleigh where people pose for pictures. They actually raise a lot of money for Children's Hospital through donations, so it is very worthy. But the traffic, the noise, the parking, the crowds, all this has drawn flak from dozens of neighbours who are not so much in the holiday spirit when it comes to this place. So police have intervened.
We have the traffic unit that will go out there and assist with traffic on the high volume days.
The Halliwell family who put on the light show say they are trying to be good neighbours.
We've cut back on our hours. And we've also lowered the voltage of the lights so they're not as bright. We've also lowered the music.
Grandma Halliwell, no more jingle bells at midnight. One Halliwell family member says, what's the fuss? Everyone should join in.
Why don't we all put up lights? Let's really make it a neighborhood to really bring the people around.
Bring in the tour buses. Yeah, not going to happen. Where I live, there are similar issues, but happily not on my street exactly. There is a fellow who has a Christmas lights installation that is permanent, although he just switches this thing on at Christmas. Interestingly, that homeowner is Muslim. He just happens to love Christmas lights.
Yeah, I actually got sunburned yesterday putting out Christmas lights around my barbecue deck there. That's all I'm doing this year. I'm not doing the whole house. We're going away. Why would I put up lights for other people to look at and not get any enjoyment out of myself? And also, it's one year where I just won't risk breaking my neck by falling off a third-story roof. I mean, that is a stupid way to die. Some people would say being in an earthquake-collapsed building is also a silly way to die if it had just been built properly and they shouldn't have. It's a long, drawn-out way of me saying Mike's got some opinions about the no prosecutions.
Charging someone's easy. Getting it legally across the line in a case like this is way, way harder, if not nigh impossible. Why? Because the collapse of a building or any similar sort of catastrophe is rarely, if ever, the fault of a single person. We can cite Peter Whittle and Pike River in this as well. Now, the Whittle case got complicated, of course, by that payout, and the Supreme Court was pretty clear the other day on the illegality of the money. But the original issue for WorkSafe was, could they charge one person for what the Royal Commission clearly showed was systemic failure? I would have thought the answer would have been remarkably similar to the CTV decision yesterday. There's no question there was blame all over the place, and the various investigations have shown that. Even the council, city council, failed in their duty. So who do you actually charge? The designer, the architect, the contractors, the builder, the council? Just who was it that did enough specifically and individually wrong to make a building collapse in an earthquake? And the answer, of course, is no one. The moment you go down the path of legal responsibility on something as complex as a building collapse or a mine explosion, you have to be very confident that the spectre of a large amount of finger-pointing in different directions isn't going to ensue. And in these cases, you could not have even come close. Which doesn't solve the grief part of the equation. Of course, tragedy cuts deep, and it is human to want to see someone held to some level of accountability. But emotion is not law, and law is not about retribution or blame come hell or high water. It's methodical, it needs to be transparent, it's complex, which is why the police in this case have done, as hard as it may be to hear for some, not just the right thing, but realistically, the only thing.
Okay, that's the kind of content that's a bit of a downer to listen to on a Friday podcast. So, because it's a Friday podcast, it's Mac the Week instead.
James Shaw, 3. Oh, dear. Yet again, a failure of leadership. He took the blame yesterday for misleading people in a speech about old Golras. He didn't check the details with Golras. Why didn't he? Because who in his right mind would think she's defending as opposed to prosecuting these people? Harry and Meghan, 9. Oh, I love love. I love love. We all love love. We all love a fairy tale and a happy ending. The prince and the actress. It is what great stories are all about. The police recruit video this week, 9. Yes, that's skill and talent and creativity. That's what's possible when you get a whiteboard and bright people. It's worth a watch even if you don't want to become a copper. I mean, hell, it's better than 87% of everything that's on TV. The NFL and their $100 million payout, 6. You don't know about that? The player power. That's player power. You kneel your way to change. They basically coughed up $100 million if they'll just stand up for the anthem. Simple as that. Timaru and gas, 8. The meeting this week just told what was possible. The jobs, the income, the transformation of an economy. Grab it with both hands, Timaru.
Can you grab gas with both hands?
Not entirely sure that's the right thing to do there, anyway. And something that other people aren't sure is the right thing to do is let Ben Stokes play for Canterbury. But given that nobody's actually found him guilty of anything, why not?
Ben Stokes, just quickly, I've got no problem with him playing. The headline was, Canterbury chooses ticket sales over morality with Ben Stokes' decision. So Ben Stokes, he's New Zealander, but he plays in England anyway, so he's got himself allegedly into an element of trouble in Britain. He smacked some guy outside a pub or a bar or whatever the case was. The police have been investigating. Yesterday they handed that case off to the prosecution service and said, can we charge him? Are there charges? Is there a case there? Now, so to this point, and this dovetails, I suppose, a little bit in with some aspects of the Me Too campaign that's going around the world at the moment, you are, I thought, and let's just still assume justice applies, innocent until proven guilty. So the guy comes home and he's got family here and he's staying with his parents and that's all good and well. So what English cricket want to do with him is not what Canterbury cricket want to do with him. They're two completely separate things. If England want to leave him out of the Ashes side, they can. They can make any decision they want, the same way Canterbury can make any decision they want. So from Canterbury's point of view, this is a guy who's in the country. He's a world-class cricketer. He's done nothing wrong officially until charges are laid. If charges were laid and they still went ahead with it, you might like to question them a second time, but currently he's got no charges. He's available to play cricket. England have released him to play cricket. He's available to Canterbury to play cricket. Why wouldn't you let him play cricket? Why are you starting to judge morality on when it comes to sport? He's done nothing wrong. He's allegedly done something wrong, but they haven't worked out whether it's worth charging him or not.
I mean, we've had people who definitely did wrong things.
Precisely.
We've had them back.
Exactly.
Your Jesse Riders.
Exactly.
Your dope smokers.
Your dope smokers. So I don't know what Stokes' problem is, and maybe he gets a little cricket here, maybe he enjoys himself, maybe he defects and comes and plays for the Black Caps. Who would know?
You know, when you, just on reflection, when you add up drug scandals, sex scandals, match-fixing scandals, really, Ben Stokes is perhaps the most fine and upstanding and moral cricket player we've ever seen. All he's done is allegedly thumped somebody who may or may not have deserved it. We're going to finish up here with some new faces in politics, even though they're on people who've been in politics for a long time. I'll let Mark explain.
If you've not seen Silvio Berlusconi's face, go online, Google it up. It's all over the place at the moment. Headline is Silvio Berlusconi debuts new face. And he's making a comeback. His side, his team, his coalition did very well, as we've told you, with Joe McKenna before in the Sicilian elections recently. And he's looking to make one last major push. He's waiting for a European court decision as to whether he can actually do it or not, because he's had some issues with the law, you might have heard. Anyway, so if he gets that decision, but he's gone away and he's got himself a new face. A face that would not be out of place at Madame Tussauds' exhibition, claims one of the articles I was reading. Gleaming teeth, what looks like sprayed on hair, framed with what is possibly the tightest face in politics. it looks ridiculous. And he looked ridiculous to start with. By the way,
I'm looking at it now. It definitely looks like they've pulled his ears.
It's amazing, eh?
It looks like they've pulled his ears right back, yeah, almost to the very back of his head, just to make everything at the front.
It's almost like a wraparound face, isn't it? It's incredible.
It's a bit. Actually, it's not that dissimilar from Jack Nicholson as the Joker in the Michael Keaton Batman movie.
Not dissimilar. We have put a before and after on Facebook, on the Facebook page, if you want to go. Joe Biden, they're claiming, has had the smoothing of the forehead. I didn't know that.
Well, when you've got that much real estate, you've got to propagate it.
Trump, though, had some liposuction chin and stomach. I didn't realize that either. So they claim Biden and John Kerry apparently denied that he had had some fillers in the old cheeks. And there's a famous quote by a guy called Paul Begala, a journalist. He said that basically politics is show business for ugly people. But you've got to see Silvio. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, so Trump had a scalp reduction. It was one of the procedures they performed on him. This is an effort to help remedy the old bald spot or something. But apparently it was very painful. It made him very angry, especially, and he got very mad at Ivana. I don't think it was her fault. I don't think she did it, but it was all part of the divorce hearing. This all came out. You know, there's some weird stuff that happens in Trump's head. And yet, we forget about that sometimes, don't we? That was Friday. That was the rewrap. I am Glenn ZB. We're going to wrap up Monday for you on Monday. It seems the best day to do it. I'll see you then.